countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Get Irish Country Living, your magazine for rural Ireland, every week inside the Irish Farmers Journal.
This means that the UK has voted to leave the European Union.
Let June the 23rd go down in our history as our Independence Day.
And so the first real test of that Brexit independence came this week with the announcement of a free trade deal between Britain and Australia.
Why is he so frightened of free trade? I think there's a massive opportunity for Scotland and for the whole of the UK, and he should seize it and be proud of it.
But farmers in Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland, not to mention here in the Republic, are less jubilant with the idea of cheap food competing and flooding the UK from down under.
We're extremely worried about this. Volume is obviously a serious issue, as are standards. This oversupply that we could see happening and is likely to happen would completely undermine our market. So from an economic perspective, we're seriously concerned.
Martin Kennedy of the National Farmers Union in Scotland, echoing the sense of shock and concern among farmers across the United Kingdom. Steve Thompson is an agricultural economist and he lectures the next generation of young Scottish agricultural students at Scotland's Royal College. And he joins us this morning from Scotland. Stephen, good morning. Were you surprised at the speed at which this new free trade deal with Australia has happened?
I suppose I was and I wasn't. I was because last year in the UK agricultural, when the Agricultural Act was passing through Parliament, there was a requirement for future trade deals to be assessed and the impacts considered through the Trade and Agricultural Commission, which is still to be set up. So for this deal to come in before it's been scrutinised from an impact perspective, was a bit of a fright, or a bit concerning. But I suppose the UK government have been keen to show that they're fleet of foot in comparison with the EU with regards to negotiations. And of course, the EU have been negotiating with Australia for the last 3 years. And Liz Truss has managed to come in and offer a deal in probably record time. That shows that the UK means what they're saying in terms of trying to liberalise trade across the globe.
Okay, we heard there from Martin Kennedy saying how worried he is. That's been reflected and echoed in this country as well, in Northern Ireland indeed, and of course in Wales. What's central to farmers' concerns, and what is the significance and consequence of zero tariffs?
Well, I think central to the concerns, particularly in Wales and Scotland, who are, if you think of them as countries of their own or devolved administrations, they're significant net exporters of ruminant livestock. So Scotland's a massive net export into England and into the European Union of sheep meat and also of beef. And Wales is the same, particularly in the sheep meat sector. So with regards to Australia, it's a very low-cost production system for sheep. They've got both, it's a dual purpose, they've got wool and meat, which means that the economics stack up in their favour. And in the beef sector, they've also got a comparative advantage there. So naturally, farmers are looking at this trade deal thinking, my word, if there's zero tariff, that means that they've got a real cost comparative advantage, which means that they could be pushing us out of the market. I take a slightly different perspective on that, in that I think that they may push Irish exports out the market a bit more. And I always hark back to the 2019 announcement when the UK government announced their tariff schedule. They had a tariff rate quota for beef in there. And that tariff rate quota kind of mirrored what the European Union were currently exporting to the United Kingdom. Now, at some point, the concern, I think, across the industry is we've got an absolute free trade agreement with zero tariffs with the European Union. We are going to have a tariff-free regime maybe in 10 or 15 years, depending on how these negotiations go with Australia. And every other country is going to want similar a similar deal. So stacking all of that up means that there's increasing competition, and you can only put it can only go one way, in that that will push some of the smaller producers out.
Okay, so you're saying that the fear is that cheaper steaks from down under, where they can produce it at a low cost, maybe at half of what the EU average is, that it'll shove our beef off the supermarket shelves across the UK?
Potentially. And the devil is in the detail in trade negotiations and trade deals, and how people then react. So the trade deal is just the opening of a door. Somebody then has to come in and get that market penetration. Mm. And of course, the Irish processors are well established in the United Kingdom, so I would imagine that they'll have a say in some of this. But we know that the retail sector is quite fickle at times, and they will go for cheap, and the food manufacturing sector will go for cheap if possible. But I think the Australians will be very, very astute here and be using the very high end of their market, so strip loins, etc., fillet, and actually targeting that, because if they've got increased access in terms of tonnage, then the tonnage, a ton of offal compared to a ton of fillet, has got hugely different values. And of course, if you're being paying a tariff, a tax on value, or on tonnage, then you would naturally go for the high end market wherever you can. So I think this will be perhaps into the high end market, the retail, and also into the sort of food service, the hospitality sector, where they could be targeting that.
Yeah, and in other words, they'd be sending good stuff here. Won't be anything cheap. Finally and briefly, Stephen, the Brexiteers that were so patriotic back in 2016, voting to leave, will they be as patriotic now when it comes to supporting local farmers?
That's a $64 million question, and you hear very often that people will support the British producer and like local food, etc. But that's fine if you've got that choice and you're affluent. The challenge is that we've got an awful lot of people that don't have choice mm-hmm. when it comes to food purchases. They do purchase on price, and if there's a low value product on the shelf, then they will buy it. And we saw that during COVID, the first lockdown in COVID,
yeah.
when a lot of Polish beef came in, and it was really cheap, and it flew off the shelves.
Okay.
So consumers will tell you one thing and do something else quite often.
Okay, very interesting developments this week indeed. Thank you very much for joining us. That's Stephen Thompson, who's an agricultural economist lecturing young ag students at Scotland's Rural College.